Here are some interesting alternatives for Daf Yomi. The first recording is of today's Daf from the 13th cycle, which is done within about a half an hour. And that's followed by a very fast review, about 5 minutes, allowing you to review the entire Daf quickly. Followed by the same Daf from either the previous cycle's Daf Yomi, or perhaps even from 2 cycles ago, Daf Yomi. Different ambience, usually done in greater detail. You can choose one or the other as your first Daf, the other one as a review Daf. But whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat is Daf Ayin Chet. Brought to you by Chavot Yerushalayim. We are holding on the 2 dots, top of the page, about 1/5 of the way down. So we finished yesterday discussing Shemen, and the question of what is the size of Neiver Katan. The next piece that we had in the Mishnah was Mayim. Mayim kidei lashuv pehen etakilorim. We said that the amount of water that would be necessary to be mechayev for an act of hotza'ah is a very small amount, just enough to mix with the combination of eye medication that was very common in those days, which of course, if you're talking about medicinal purposes, it's much less than drinking purpose. I'm not buying it. I don't understand this psak. I mean, analyze the pattern here in the Mishnah. In general, we could say that the rule is that kol milta d'shchicha v'lo shchicha. If you have a common usage of a thing and an uncommon usage of a thing. So then, clearly the rule has been throughout. I'm going to give you a few examples in a minute, says Abaye. But in that case, the Rabbanan said, look, always look at the common use. Even if the common use requires a great deal more material, which is a great kula l'gavi Shabbat, you won't be chayv until you bring out the larger shear. If you have two things which have common usages, even if they are not necessarily equally common, but they're both viewed as something that's constantly used, then the Rabbanan went according to the shchicha use, which is more chomer. So, for instance, there's yayin, okay? We had a case in the Mishnah of wine. Now, people use wine for mixing with various things for refuah, including kilar. But nonetheless, the shear of yayin, since tiyato shechicha, but the use for medicinal purposes is not. Refuato lo shechicha, what did we say the shear is of wine? We said for a whole cup. We came out that that's a reviat. And because of that, ozer rabbanan, batar shetiyato de shechicha. They went according to the greater shear, which is a kula, and if you took out less than that, you would not be chayav. Now let's say it comes to chalav, here referring to, of course, cow's milk. Achilato shechicha, refuato lo shechicha. And there to ozel rabbanan batar achilato, since people will usually use it for nourishment purposes and not for mixing with things, which is a kula. You have the opposite example, let's say with honey. Now, with honey, there's two usages that are both common. So eating honey, achilato shchicha, but so is using honey for the katit, as we said in the Mishnah. So is using honey to cover a wound, and it's refuah shchicha, because of that the Rabbanu went according to the chumra shchichah use, which is the medicinal purposes of honey. So I don't get the case of mayim. I mean, surely you're not going to tell me that a primary usage of water is mixing with kilor. I mean, mayim, michte, shtiyato shchicha. Clearly, water is used for drink, but refuato is a very minor usage. I mean, even if somebody's going to make kilor, he'll use kilor, he'll mix it with wine, or he'll mix it with milk, human milk, which is much better anyway. So why in the world, my time as a rabbanan about the refuah l'chumra? Why did we go l'chumra? On the shear of the mayim. Omar Abaye, Abaye says, well, the Mishnah must be referring to the Galil. The Galil Ashana. And since in the Galil they did not have other things, they were quite poor, and they would be mocked but not to waste wine and milk for kilor purposes, they would just use water, and therefore the refuah is considered to be a common usage. And we went l'chumra, again, common doesn't mean it has to be as common, but it's common. And because of that, the Rabbanu went l'chumra. Rava says, no, no, it doesn't have to be defined by the place. Afilu teima b'shar mikomot, any place would use the water for mixing kilor. Shmuel was a famous doctor, said the Omar Shmuel, look, kol shakain umasi metal. You can use all types of liquids to mix with kilor, and they'll all do the job, but they will also cover your eye a little bit with a sticky substance, and gradually it's going to affect your eyesight. And because of that, people don't want to use it. The only thing that works, but does not cause to leave, it doesn't cause any kind of problems with the eye because it doesn't leave any type of a mess on your eye, is water. So levar mimaya damasa volonatalali, that cures you, doesn't cause any vision problems, and therefore the common usage would be to use mayim for kilor. Shar kol ha-mashkim b'revi'it, and anything else liquid is revi'it. Tana rabbonim. Well, that means anything. It means I give him blood, or call me name Ashkim Riviat. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, well, not necessarily. Again, you have to know. I mean, if you want to get into specifics of specifics of specifics, so, I mean, obviously you're going to have to know particularly. There is type of blood which can have a medicinal purpose, and therefore a very small amount would be Mechayev you. I won't tell you right now, but there is blood where the shear would be just enough to use in mixing with eye kechold for the eye coloration, which is used for also for purpose of medication. There's a problem with the eye, even with one eye. And why is that? Sheken kochalina verakit, because sometimes you get a growth on the eye, and there's a certain type of blood that can be applied to the eye that is useful in curing that. What am I referring to? My nihu, dama de tarnagolet bra. The tarnagolet bra, which is the dukipat, it doesn't mean literally a wild tarnagolet, it's the name of the species, the tarnagolet bra. And if you happen to have that kind of blood, don't think there's like a general rule, anything that is liquid. I mean, you got to know the details of the details. There's another gun that's also needed. You know what that is? There's also times where you use particular blood for cataract or other people say for other issues of growths inside the eye. What is that? That is bat blood. Mind you, dama de krush. The Krustina, a Krustina is a bat, and the way to remember what you use for what, well, the bat cave is like a pretty hidden place, right? So that's Simanecha, Gav, Lagav, the inside thing for the inside thing. So bats live indoors, and you would use them for something that's in the eye. Bra, which is the name of the Tanagota Bra, is Libra, is for things that are growing on the eye. Easy to remember. Anyway, all of the above is Bamedvar Mamurim. These Shiurim are when you're just being motzi. But if you're being matznia, then any little bit would be machayev you. Obviously, that means when you were matznia and motzi, but we'll allow the Gemara to work that through. And once again, we know Rabbi Shimon's pshak on all this. Rabbi Shimon says, no, on the contrary. These special shiurim are only in a case where somebody actually needed something for this purposes, was matznia for this purposes, and these are minimal shiurim even for matznia, but they would never apply stam. By motzi, without a specific need, you'd only be chayav for revit. And the chachomim that we're speaking of over here, which we just had Reb Shimon Elazar, Reb Shimon Gamliel, they'd be motzi to Rabbi Shimon. In the case where you're taking out sewerage, and your motzi shofchim l'rishut harabim, then in that case the shear is always berevi'it. Your language is confusing. Tell me, when would this be true, dafka, if you carried it? But if you put it aside in a cabinet, then you'd be chayav for any... What do you mean if you put it inside a cabinet? Is it Isser putting something in a cabinet? I mean, every matzniya, the only thing that you're being chayav him on is for being motzi. Is there a funny way to say things? I'm Rabbi, no. The truth is, remember we had a whole problem about whether you could be mechayev one person on a hotzah of something that someone else was matznia, right? So that was machlokes before with Reb Shimon ben Elazar. So now, what we're talking about over here, says Abaye, is a Talmid shamar lo rabo, lechu fanei li hamakom mesuuda. So he tells one of his Talmidim, and he tells him, and it doesn't have to mean a Talmidim of a rabbi, it means an apprentice, you know, a sorcerer's apprentice, whatever it is. Now you just so he tells him, okay, move this away for me. And he went and he cleaned out the room. So pinalo davar chashuv lakol chayav aloya. So if he moved out things that anybody would consider chashuv, so then he would be mechuyev, even though the rav was not matzniyat for his own needs. But davar she'eino chashuv lakol. It says bamed davar mamurim. It's saying over here, when do we need a shear that is as chashuv as what we mentioned over here? Bimotzi, where you're going according to the machshava of the individual who's doing the hotzah. But by a matznia, there are times when you would be halech with the machshava of the matznia. Now, Tosfos, in other words, if the Rav had set aside small bits of material for his specific purposes, then someone else would be chayav for doing that hotzah. Now, this seems to be only be true according to Shimon Elazar. And indeed, we'd have to explain it differently. The obvious way we would have explained it, if you don't know Reb Shimon Elazar, is how Rashi learns. Tosfos says, no, that's the whole point of the Gemara. The point of the Gemara is, in creating a case like this, where someone's being motzi, and Badaf, we take a case where the Rav told the Talmud that he's supposed to take it out. Well, I mean, what's the point of making a crazy case like that? The whole point is, says Tosfos, that when an individual is acting in locum for someone else. And every apprentice is following instructions. You don't say in that case he has a mind of his own. Since, therefore, the master was the one who had done the hatsnoah, that's the chiyav. Aval b'matzniah, even though you're not the matzniah, then the motzi would be chayav. So in that case, iatzne rabbi mechayav iluye v'ilo lo mechayav. Amar mar. Then we had this back in the Mishnah. We mentioned that Shofkin Shiurim Berevi'it, and we never quite understood what in the world would Shofkin be good for. So finally we get to the closing year of our Mishnah, Spirit of the Gemara. Shofkin Lamai Chazu, what good is waste water? Omer Abiyamiya, because waste water can still be used for construction purposes, so you could use waste water to make cement, and you could make Lagabil Bematatit. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the case, should it not be defined by the smallest amount of cement that is considered to be kosher? If you take a look at the shear of cement, it says that even a tiny bit of cement, which is big enough, tit, kidei la'asot behem pikur, now pikur is basically the amount of cement that you would use in a smithy for closing the bellows, around the bellows, to make sure that no air escapes, they would seal that with cement, and then they would use the bellows. That's a tiny bit of cement. So if that's how much cement you need, then why do you need more than that amount of water to make that amount of cement if the shear of Shofchim is for cement? Answers the Gemara, there's a big difference. There it's talking about cement already made. The question, however, is how much cement would a person make at a time? Nobody makes a tiny bit of cement. So if it was mikbal already, if you have cement, once the cement is made, you use a small amount of cement that you have made, even for a pikur. But if you're talking about water to make cement, people don't make a tiny bit of cement. Ain't adam toreach legabel tit lasot pikur. No one's going to go to that type of trouble. You wait until you have some cement made for some other purpose. So it's the same thing. It's like for spachtel. You know, you're going to go, if you're spachteling a wall, you'll get all the little holes all over there to make spachtel just for a tiny bit here and there. And that's basically what the tikur is. Getting on with other examples. Somebody takes out a string. A string is useful. So even a small amount of string, it doesn't have to actually carry anything. It's good for holding something. So if you take a bit of string to make a handle for holding or hanging up a small basket or something, that would be enough. Gemi, how about a little piece of reed? Let's have a sieve or a sifter. So they would make them usually out of these smooth pieces of what do you say in English?
Reed,
yeah. A reed. So that's something tiny. Rabbi Yeromek, they told me menu midat minale katan. The shear, what they would use reeds for, basically rulers. You're taking your kid for a fitting for their first shoes, okay? So what you do is you take a reed, you have the kid stand on the reed, bend the reed at the point of the foot, and take that to the shoemaker. And there you've got perfect size of your shoes. That's a small, very small use of a garnet. And that's good. Okay, how about a little piece of paper? Niyar. That's a niyar. All you need is k'dei l'chtov alav kesher moksin. All you need is basically for a ticket. What they use a ticket for, essentially, a ticket was used for paying your taxes. Not taxes, but customs. So when you went through the customs, they would give you a little signature.
Receipt?
Yeah, like, it was like a receipt, but it was just basically the signature of the custom agent. And then that would prove that you've paid your customs. It was just a little piece of paper. It's amazing that this literally just happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I'd come in picking up my wife, and I hadn't picked up my duty-free stuff. And she's in there talking on the phone. I wanted her to pick it up. No, they won't allow her to pick it up unless they have a kishri mosi. So I said, you go to the guy and have him sign a piece of paper. And so I tear out a little piece of paper. A little tiny piece of paper is all I could find because I didn't have anything. Borrow a pen from someone. Write down my two debts, Meet the guy outside. He signs it. Gives it to her. She goes, and so she says, what, they're going to stop me on the way out? No, you bring this paper. So that's exactly what happens over here. So you need this kesher moksin.
Here's a chevel shalkana.
A chevel shalkana is in Barney's neighborhood, somewhere there. Okay. Ramotzi kesher moksin. Now that's the amount of paper that you would need. If you have something that normally would require a bigger shear because it's a more valuable thing, let's say you even have cloth, but it has been used for a kesher moksin, A Kesher Moksim per se is valuable, and you would be chayav on it, even if it doesn't have the shear that it would have for its normal usage. However, if the paper was erased, then you can't use it for Kesher Moksim anymore, because the erasure is maker on it. So then it would be used on a larger shear as a covering for a bottle of perfume. You would tie it, kidei lichroch al tzluchit ktana shaplaiton. Or you have a piece of leather. That's useful for making a kamiya. You're going to some to write the kamiya, according to some to fold the whatever the kamiya holds in cloth. If you have worked skin that's been split, kidei lichtov alav parashak ktana shabitfilin, the shortest parasha, the tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. How about diyot, ink, the amount of ink? Again, it's always the shear of shteyot diyot. Kol, kidei lichol ayin achat, as we already saw. Devek. Devek is useful to put on Rosh HaShafshaf. Now the Gemara is going to ask what exactly the Devek is used for on top of a stick of wood. Zefet v'gofrit, kidei la'asot nekev. What would you use? A tiny little bit of tar. Or pitch, that is good for making a thermometer with. So you put mercury into it. You need a tiny little hole that the mercury is forced out of. So that amount of pitch that would make a small, of course they use mercury for other things, it wasn't for thermometers, but it was for mercury, as Rashi says, and that would require very, very tiny holes. So you would stop it up except for a small amount through the pitch. Sha'ava kedei litein alpi nekev katan. The amount of wax you would need would be to stuff up a small, tiny hole. Charsit, this was crushed pieces of pottery that was used as a paste, would be used for a pi korshel tzorfei zahav. They had also, tzorfei zahav obviously had need for a bellows, but it was tiny to get the heat into a very small furnace. You don't know? Kedei la'asot pitpuk, enough to make a little tripod to hold it on, hold that korah. Subim, kedei litein al pi korshel tzorfei zahav. So they would use high heat subin from wheat, from various grains, and they would burn it. Seed was a depilatory that would be one of its purposes, and to use on a little child, a little girl, that would be sufficient to be mechuyev on motzi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kedei lasot kalkal, Rabbi Chaya Omer, kedei lasud undapi. Doesn't have to be for the entirety of a body. It's enough to take a little bit of hair off of the temples, off the forehead. It's also a shear for chutzah. Ask the Gemara, why is it that when it comes to gemi, you can use an even smaller piece of gemi and just enough to fix a sieve or a sifter, but when it comes to a chevel, it has to be enough to make an ozen. Couldn't a chevel be used also as a patch in a net work for a sifter or a sieve? So, namil chav kedei la'asot tloim anofalot nevara? No. Because a chevel is too thick, and since it's chorek b'mona, it therefore damages the very thin wood that you use as the round piece that holds the gemi in place. Lo avin, people would not use it even as a replacement in a pinch. Tana rabbanan, hutzin. Hutzin are the pieces of the lulav from the palm tree. So that would be kedei lasot ozen lasal, tkvifa mitzrit. The tkvifa mitzrit was made out of palm pieces, so they could use a rougher thing like hutzin for a handle. Sieve, now the sieve you'll see around the bottom of the dekel, and it's basically a natural filter. It's a tiny net-like work around the bottom of the palm. You can see one as you walk outside of the Daf Yomi, right around the bottom of the tree. And in fact, they would use it for what we use, those little filters, those little plastic filters and the kettles and so on. They used it for wine. So the sieve could be used, so right at the end of what's mashpech in English again?
A funnel.
So right at the end of the funnel, the wine goes through the filter. Rivav. How about a little piece of margarine? Kedei lasuch tachas aspargin ktana. Enough to put under a little thing that you're putting into your oven. And what would that be? It would be, the size of a coin. Shirakaseli. Not for a cookie. But anyaki grogeret. That's same size. A grogeret melts into the size of a cella. And how about little pieces of mochin, little pieces of material, polyester, whatever? Oh, well, that's good to make a little playing ball with, right? So, lasot kadur ktana. And what's the shear of a kadur ktana? About ping pong size. Here goes. Niyar. Kedei lichtov alav kesher mochin. Tana kama kesher mochin, shtei otiyot. But the problem is that doesn't it say amotzi niyar chalak on newspaper? If it has a shear of shtei otiyot, you would be chayav, but if not, you're potter. Now, shtei otiyot is not kesher shomosin. Shtei otiyot, kesher shomosin is big letters. Kesher, then the Shtei Otiyot is normally a shear of your writing, which is small. It's the Mokes who writes it big so that you could show it to the next guy. I'd explain that. Omrib Shev said, well, it means Shtei Otiyot does not mean our writing. Shtei Otiyot means everybody understands it's the same reference, the Kesher Mokes. Sure, Shtei Otiyot or Kesher Mokes. Rava says, no. When it says Shtei Otiyot, it means Shtei Otiyot. The reason that that adds up to the same thing as the Kesher Mokes, which is larger, is because if you're writing two normal letters, then you normally, you don't write all the way to the edge. You write, you see, you can hold the edge as a small gila yon, so whatever that margin is needed in order to write. So you write the middle part. The mokes, you don't hold it by the edge, you hold it in your palm. So he uses the entire paper, in which case it goes down to the same thing. The gila yon plus two normal letters is the size of the otiyot of the Kesher Mokes. So shtei otiyot idan with the beit achiza, which is the equivalent of a Kesher Mokes. How can Rava say this? It says, if you have a piece of paper that's been used, but there's areas on it that are clear, or you have, you know, a page that you ripped out from a magazine or something, then I have a little bit of place to write on it. So in the part that is still white and unprinted, you have room to write shtei otiyot, or it's big enough in the whole piece, even if you don't have room for shtei otiyot, to use as a covering of a perfume bottle, then you would be chayef. But if not, you would be potter. Now, Bishlam al Reb Sheshet. Reb Sheshet says the meaning of the words, two otiyot, mean two otiyot of Kesher Mokes. So over here, when it says two otiyot, there's no problem. It means two otiyot of Kesher Mokes. But Rava learns that shtei otiyot refer to two normal otiyot, but you need the equivalent of two otiyot plus a margin. But if you're writing on a piece of printed magazine, what the heck do you need a margin for? You have the whole page to hold on to, then you write the entire area that's clear. So then it's obvious from here that that cannot be the meaning of shtei otiyot, because then you end up with a stira. If the shear is too small otiyot, and that's what two otiyot always means, in this case it can't mean too small otiyot with the gilayon, because you wouldn't need a gilayon. So then you end up with a contradiction between Kishrei Shomboich, which is too large otiyot, and this case. So according to Rava, who holds that the word shtei otiyot does not mean Kishrei Mosin. It means shtei otiyot idan plus a beit achiza, which equals Kesher Mosin. In this particular case, we have niyar machuk, or a piece of paper you ripped out of a news magazine, you don't need a beit achiza. So a beit achiza lo tzarek, and you have a problem. You're right, you do. Gosh, I don't know the answer to that. Don Rabboni. You have the Kesher Mokes. You need it in order to show that you paid at the cash register, in order that you be allowed to buy. Okay, so then if you motzi on Shabbos, you'd be chayav because it's usable. But the moment you already used it, what's the point? So then it becomes something that has no value. It's just a used piece of paper. So misher eil mokes, you would be potter. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're always chayav because you need it. What are they arguing about? The problem is you got all the little guys that are trying to make money off of secondary findings of people who have escaped through the Mechas without paying. So these guys can hit you at any time. You know, you think you're by, and you open up all the hidden boxes underneath to have a drink. All of a sudden comes a guy in a little motorbike, you know. Exactly. So you need to keep this thing in order to show, because otherwise you're going to have to schlep all the way back with the guy and then fight it out with him with the other guy. Then like this, you keep it, you show, look, you're at my receipt, all of this has been paid. So Mimela, you need it even after you paid, or if you're trying to get out of Sam's Club, you know, or Walmart, they won't let you out unless you show you already. Is it the same thing?
English. On Shabbat, what do you need to have the mechusim?
Well, if you're the kind of guys traveling on Shabbat, I assume you'd also carry the Kesher
mechusim.
Remember, this is South Africa. It's a bittul Shabbat, not a. So therefore, you still have what to use it for. Rava says that now the thing is, you don't even have to come out there, guys on the motorbikes. Basically, the mokes, who's in charge, he appoints secondary guys that are standing on various entryways. There may be like three or four different roads entering the country. So you pay at the main entrance. And at that point, you could split. One guy goes over a bridge in this direction. Another guy takes the highway to the east, another to the west. So you have secondary guys that may actually be standing there that you have to present it to. So Mokes Gadol and Mokes Katan, Ike Binayo. And over there also, we do not assume that there are hidden signals that the guy's going to know who to stop. And the question is, do you have to worry about that? Rav Ashi Amar, Even chad mochesi kibena, they're not arguing about secondary issues. Even if you're paid, and there's only one guy, don't worry about any guy else, okay? But when you get to the next border, remember the border is there where every other city basically had different government and a different moches, city-states. So when you get to the next border, one of the things that you like to have with your passport, Richie, so one of the things you like to have with your passport, it's like when you're trying to get into Israel, right? You want to have as many stamps from the past, because the more stamps you have from the past, the less trouble they make you when you're coming in this time. If you present a new passport, God help us. Okay. So therefore, tzachat is what you do is you have all your old kishrei mochsim attached to your passport, right? So the new guy who comes, oh, okay, this guy's pretty good. He always pays his taxes. All right, we don't have to worry too much about him. If you don't have any old kishrei mochsim, they're thinking, aha, he's probably on one of these, he swallowed the heroin kind of trips. God only knows what they'll do to you. So therefore, it's always useful to have an old kishrei mochsim to show him, la'arot l'mochesh sheni, as if to say to him, see, God for the Mochis on. I'm friendly with the Mochis. Me and the Mochis, why, we're old buddies. I've been paying for years. Turn it up on it. How about a Motish Darchov? Somebody brings out on Shabbos.
I just want to mention, historically, we think that writing developed because of paying taxes, which connects to the whole city.
That's amazing.
There was when they went into Afghanistan or Iraq, you don't have to put this on tape, but the American people went into the museums, and one of the officers who went in was a professor, and he says, I'm looking at the earliest examples of writing in the world, and it's tax receipts. It's, yeah. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. There we go.
Not great poetry.
Great.
Get the taxes, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, so now the question is, how about taking out a contract into Rishus HaRab? So the Pashtas, you would say, it's very similar to Kesher Moksim. In other words, Achelo Paro Chayav, before such time as it was paid up, so then obviously it's useful because you can collect with it. But if it was already paid, then you can't use it to collect again, so Mishparo Potter. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even once it was paid up, you'd be Chayav because you need it. Might be now, what exactly are they arguing about? Well, what do you need it for? Well, Rav Yosef says, the question between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda is whether you are allowed to keep a shtar parua. Because since it says, lo tishkan bo alecha avla, you're not supposed to leave something in your home that can lead to misconduct. Because of that, someone who has made that loan on this contract, there's always a chance, if he dies or if he gets hard up for money, he might be tempted or his children might think that this is a shtar that was never collected. They'll go to try to collect with it again. And since you're not allowed to keep something like that around, you can't even keep it to use for wrapping a bottle of perfume, which would normally be the case, what you would do for a piece of used paper. So therefore, it loses all value. Through a bun and hold, it loses all value because you have to get rid of it. And therefore, also, the short stop ruin has no value in taking it out in Rishus HaRab. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, mutar lishot. And therefore, if the lender takes it out, he could still have the standard usage, which is wrapping a bottle of perfume in it. Everybody agrees that you have no right to have such a shtar. We're not talking about a shtar that's literally parua. Question over here is, what is the status of a shtar whose validity is defined by the fact that the borrower says that he signed the shtar? So, the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is whether once a lova has admitted that he signed a shtar, whether in order to collect with it against the lova's subsequent claim that he paid it off, whether you would need to be mekayem it in court and you would need to have witnesses, and the previous admission would be meaningless. Unless you've got witnesses that are recognize it, and they say that this is, besides what the Lova tells you, we could tell you this is a kosher shtar. But as long as you're dependent on the Lova, so we have a din of a pesha, sarua, pesha, yitir. If I'm the guy who told you I signed it, I can also tell you I paid it. So therefore, if Rabbi Yehuda holds you do not need to be mekayem it, once he admitted that it was written, so then if that's the case, it doesn't matter whether Lova claims he was poreya or not, it's still a useful shtar to collect. If you hold that when the Lova claims that it was paid, it's already useless, then once he claimed it was paid, what's the point of being motzi the shtar? Then it's a shtar poreya, not allowed to keep it again. So therefore, If we're talking about, not literally when we said before, parua or not parua, doesn't mean literally paid or not paid objectively, it means whether the guy claimed he paid it. So here's how to read it. Tanaka misava, moda bishtar shiketavo, sarich lekaimo. If afterwards he claims parati, this is a useless shtar. Rabbi Yehuda savar, once he admits he was moda bishtar shiketavo, he cannot claim parati. And therefore, a shtar parua, meaning a shtar that he claimed parati, is still useful. Ain't sarich lekaimo. And therefore, the way to read the previous words, achalo paro, or misha paro, does not mean literally, my achalo paro, Misha paro, achio marlova. It means the claim that it was parua, parati, or achio marlova, lo parat. Rova says, no. The kule amo moda bishtar shiketavo shetzarech lekaimo. Everybody agrees that it's useless once the guy would say parati. And over here, it's a completely different issue. Hocha bekotvim shover kamiflege. My focus over here is whether it is possible to maintain a shtar for the malva, and the malva would write a receipt to the lova, or the lova says, no shtar, no money, because I don't want to keep a shover. What happens? Something happens to shover, and now I can't prove that I paid. So the Tana Kama holds, you write a shover. So when it says, misha por o, it means if it's out on Shabbos, it is useless to him if he writes the shover, because he can't collect with it. Unless you're telling him, well, doesn't he have to give it back to the lova anyway, and then the lova would have a value in it because you use it as a perfume bottle, so ultimately it's valuable. No, because he will never keep it around because he certainly doesn't want it to fall and then have the malva find it and then have himself have to look after the receipt, and therefore this is a normal shtar parua, and nobody's supposed to be keeping it, or nobody would keep it. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you didn't return the shtar, you ain't getting your money. And therefore, it is, of course, very useful. If it's shkicha and also shkicha, then as rabbanu bata the shkicha, which is okona. For instance, yayin. So we'll agree shtiato shkicha, refuata lo shkicha. What's the shir? As rabbanu bata shtiato the shkicha, even though it's a kula. You don't have to take out a revis. Again, there too. Ozra bonum batra achilato lekula. Dvash. The opposite. Achilato shkicha. Refuato is also shkicha. And therefore, ozra bonum batra refua, which is the shear of alpi katit. Lekumra. So why is it that when it comes to mayim, I mean, would we not be agreed that shtiyato is shkicha and refuato is lo shkicha? How come the rabbanan followed the use of the refua, which is less shkicha, lo chumra? Omra, Abaye, well, it's probably talking about in the Galil. They would be careful to only use water. Rav Amar, anywhere, they would be careful to use water. Sure enough, they're masu. But they also damage your eyes. Metalale, levar mi maya de masu velo metalale. Shar kol hamashkin berevit. Ton rabbanan. Dam v'chol minei mashkin berevit. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer. You got to know the details. There is a type of dam which would be a big chumra, like just enough for kol ba'ayin acha. Sheken kochalin lebarakit. Umay nino. Dam et tarnagota bra. Reb Shimon Gamliel, and I'll give you another example. Dam kedei lekol ba'ayin achat, because you're kochlin le'yarud. Umay niyu dam et karpushtina. V'simanecha, bat caves for bats, and bra levra. Bamed varma morim b'motziah v'b'matzniah, kol shehu chayav. Reb Shimon Omer, bamed varma morim b'matzniah. The same machlokas we've had all along. Modim chacham lo Rabbi Shimon bolatzi shofchim l'rshut harabim shishiuran b'revi'it. The language is problematic. Obviously a matzniya who isn't motzi hasn't done anything. Atu matzniya is not a motzi. Then it depends. He would be mechayev on the hatsna of the rab. V'lo mechayev. Modim chachamim l'Rabbi Shimon b'motzi shofchim l'rshut rabim shishiuran b'revi'it. What do you use shofchim for? Omra v'yirmi alegabel b'metatit. Well, so if that's the case, it should be the minimal shear of tit. V'atanya tit k'deil asot b'em pikur
No kasha. That's if you already have the teeth, a lesser amount of teeth is chashiv if it's a migbal. But in the case of a mayim, where it's not migbal, so lefishen adam toreach legabel titla. So pikor, it is not worth it for a tiny little bit of teeth to make a whole bunch, a little bit of mixture. It doesn't make sense. Amotzi cheva. Kedei la'asot ozen l'kupa, gemi, kedei la'asot laila na'pa l'kvara, Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei l'itom imenu midat mina l'katan. Niyar, kedei l'chtov alav, kishrei moksin. Va'amotzi kishrei moksin, chayav. Niyar machu, kedei l'chtov patzluchit ketana shel plaiton, or kedei la'asot kemia, klav, kedei l'chtov alav parsha ketana shel betfilin, sheishma Yisrael. Dio, kidei lechtov shtei otiyot, ko kidei lechol ayin achat, devek, kidei liten barosh ha-shaf-shaf, zefet v'gofrit, kidei lasod nekev, sha'ava, kidei liten api nekev, katan, charsit, kidei lasod pikur shol tzorfei zahav, Rabbi Yomer, kidei lasod pitput, a tripod, sumin, kidei liten api kur shol tzorfei zahav, sit, kidei lasod ktana shebebanot, Rabbi Yomer, even just enough lasod kalkal, Rabbi Lechem Yomer, kidei lasod undapi. Hakol, Cheva rather, nami lechayv te lasot laila napa lekvara, kas kivan de chorik b'mana lo avid inche tan rabban. Hu tin kede lasot ozon asal kvifa mitzrit, si vachermon kede liten api mashpech katan lesanin atayayi. Rivav kede lasot tachat aspagin ktana, kame shira kasela, but doesn't the brighter say you grow gerah? Same shir. Ine vidichat shira, mokin, kede lasot kadur ktana, how much is that vekama kamashiro ke egos niyar kedei lechtov alav kesher mochasin tana kama kesher mochasin shtei otiyot v'amino amoti niyar chalakim yesh bo kedei lechtov shtei otiyot chayav imav patur omrev sheshit doesn't mean two normal otiyot. When it says shtei otiyot, it means shtei otiyot of kesher mochasin. Rav omer shtei otiyot idan, it means exactly what you thought it means. However, since you need a little bit of a margin for Beit Achiza, it equals the same thing. So Shtei Otiyot Idan plus a Beit Achiza equals a Kesher Mosin. Meit ve'amotzi niyar chalak v'shtar parua and yesh beloven shelo kedei lechtov Shtei Otiyot or bekulo kedei lechroch ha'pitz luchit ktana shel plaiton chayav im lav potur. So bishlom al Rav Sheshet yomer mai Shtei Otiyot shel Kesher Mosin shaper. But the Rav of the Yomer Shtei Otiyot Idan Beit Achiza equals Kesher Shomoksin. Why would you need a Beit Achiza if you have a whole page of a magazine to hold on to? Hocha Beit Achiza lo tzorich, kasha. Toda Rabbanan amotzi Kesher Moksin ad shelo erei lemolcheis chayab. Mi sherei lemolcheis patur. Rabbi Yudomer, af mi shehir eyu lemolcheis chayab, bevdei she tzorich lo, mai binayu, omar abayik binayu rite muhse. Rav amar, molcheis gadol lemolcheis katan, Ikebinayo Ravashi Amar, Chad Moches Ikebinayo. If they should serve the Larot Lemoches, she need Amar Chazi, cover the Moches on them. Tonerban Ramotishtako, Achelopera O Chayab, Mishapora O Patur, Rebutomer, Af Mishapora O Chayab, if they should serve Ichlo. My Benayo, Omrev Yosef, the question of whether Asur Lishot Shtarparu Ikebinayo, since the Rabbanon old Asur Lishot Shtarparu has nothing to do with it. Since Rav Yehuda holds Mutter Lishot Shtarparu, it's the size that you would use for the perfume. Abai Omer the Kuliyama Asur Lishot Shtarparu. But the question over here is whether it's collectible. Hachabamoda Bishtar Shikitavo. Shetzarich lekaimo kamifres. The Tana kamolds. Modi b'shtarshet tiketavo. You still are not going to be able to collect with it because it needs kiyum in Beitin, which this doesn't have. Rav Yehuda Sava. Modi b'shtarshet tiketavo. Ain't tzarich lekaimo, and therefore it is usable. I feel say. So what does piraon have to do with it? My achelo piraon mishaparo means. Until such time as the borrower claims Pera'o, not that you have witnesses. So in other words, if he said the parati, then we're talking about it's being worthless, because then you cannot collect with it. Rav Amar, the kule alma moda b'shtashik etavashet sarach lekaimo. The question over here is, bekotvim shover kamiflege, tana kama savar, Kotvim Shover, or the other, there's another gear saying Kotvim Shover that we have, and Rabbi Yehuda Sovar in Kotvim Shover. Rav Asher and Bnei Shetzarich Laro, Tolabal Chovsheni. Da'amale, look, Gaber de Paran, I've paid back many loans in the past.
So here we had a case where we had two possible usages for water. Obviously, one is for drinking, and the other would be as a solvent. So you can use it to dissolve kilor, which is a very small shear. You only need a little bit of kilor to put in your eyes. Amar Abaye, so Abaye points out that he doesn't quite understand this. Mich, kol milta d'shticha v'lo shticha. Up until now, the pattern has been like this, that whenever we had something that was a common usage, and then you had another thing that was an uncommon usage, also, Rabbanan Boser Shchicha Lekula. Then the Rabbanan said, even though the common usage is something that requires a very large shear, and we'll give examples of this in a moment, and the uncommon usage is a small shear, we'll rely, Lekula, that you need the big shear, because that's common. But where you have two usages which are both common, shchicha v'shchicha, also rabbanan baser shchicha l'chumra. So then you go according to the smaller shear. For instance, yayin shtiyato shchicha l'fuato lo shchicha. Most people use wine not to waste it for making up medicines with, but for drinking. So there, also rabbanan baser shtiyaso d'shchicha l'kula. So therefore the rabbanan said, well look, we're only going to be makshiv wine if you have enough for kos yotha, which is for drinking, even though we could have said you could use the wine for some other purpose. The same thing is true of milk. Certainly you can use milk to make up medicines. There's some medicines that are made of milk, but the most common usage is for drinking. So mimela we said that it's kedegemia. Azra bana basar achilasa lakula. Dvash. Dvash, which will often be used for refua. So there we didn't say that the shear of dvash is a revius. Instead we said, that even alpikotis is sufficient to be makai of you for dvash. Water is used as the drinking thing. The only time you'll drink anything else if you're in the middle of a soda. But in terms of your daily drinks, the canteen you've got around your shoulder and so on, that's kulomai. Now, relative to that shchicha, the usage for refuah, since there are lots of things that you can use for refuah and mix your medication with it, why should we consider it a primary usage of water to be for refuah? Comparing the use of refuahs, which is unique, which is not uniquely mayim, to drinking, which is just about uniquely mayim, it doesn't make any sense. They're relatively so different that we ought to go according to the shir lakula and say that you're only chayav a mayim if you have a revius.
Either is a refuah.
Yeah, fixes the eyes, and you know you could also use it for coloration, but that's usually called kohl. It's a type of it. A kilor is an eye medicine. So my time also rabbanan baser refuah. So lekumra, why then did we take just a small shear of the eye medication and say that that you need only a little bit? Amar Abaye begililah hashana. It's talking about over here in the Galil, and they're very poor people, and the Mela, they would never use wine or milk for refuah at all. In which case, it means that the only liquid that's used for refuah is mayim, and therefore they're equally shchiyah, because any refuah is a water refuah, just like any drink is a water drink. In fact, maybe it's even more shchiyah, because maybe it's more uniquely refuah oriented than it is drink oriented, because you can drink all of them mayim too. Yes?
Can I speak to the conditions that are met with this, a local condition, what the local resident uses for?
Right. That's true, not only in this, we've had this before, the flour, the derech, and so on.
The general principle.
That's right. Amar Abaye b'Gilosh. Rava Amar Afilu Tema B'Shar Mikomot. Rava says it's not true. It's not only because of the local usage. It's because there's always an advantage to using water for refuah, and therefore water becomes kilor par excellence. Why? Any liquid that you would use in the eyes, they may cure your eyes, but they'll also eventually blind you. Hashem, if you use water, so it doesn't gel on the eye, it doesn't create a thick coating and so on, you'll be able to also see perfectly well. Mamela, anyone who's going to be making a kilar will only use mayim to make a kilar, in which case the relative usage of mayim for refuas a kilar is just as high as the usage of mayim for shtia.
Would that in shear would be a tropic tahani? Would that be enough to be kovea for all
spices? Yeah, according, unless you hold according to Rabbi Shimon.
No, apart
from the dafka lamatzniyehim. But we don't paskin like that. V'shar kol amashkin berviyas tanrabonim. Dam v'chol minei mashkin berviyas. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Dam kidei l'kho v'ayin achat. Shekin kochlin l'varakit. That you can have a very small shear of Dam because you use Dam as a specific eye. Again, kochel is used either for sticking it in for prettiness or sticking it into the eye itself for medication. So your kochel, the eye, for barakit. Barakit is a protruding growth on the eye. So you'll put blood on it, and that's referring to Mainu when we say dam. If we're talking about barakit, it's only talking about dam and the tana golet bra. That is the dam of wild turkey, which is really a liquor.
Liquor.
You have shaman bang on the element. Nobody put blood in their eyes, but certainly you're putting liquor in your eyes, right? Reb Shimon Gamliel Amer Kedam Kedei Likolbo Ayin Achat. Reb Shimon Gamliel says it could be talking about, if it's talking about blood, I disagree, but not because you'd use it for a barakit, but because you can't kuchlin the arod, you would use it for cataract. Of course, wild turkey wouldn't do any good for that. Umayin you Dama de Kushtina. For that you would need Batman. V'simanecha Gava Legava and Bra Legara. So if you had bat blood, so that's good for something that's inside, meaning that it's a cataract, and bra, which is the wild, so it's outside, not part of the yishuv, that would be good for something which juts out of the eye, which is the barakit.
So is that blood. Just the same, or is that wild or food?
What's that?
Because bats are blind.
That's it. That must be it.
Is this inside out?
Very good thing.
Thing just a simon for it, or is this why it's a refuah?
It's a simon. Bamed dvarim amurim b'motzi. When can we say this? Dafka, if you're taking it out. Avo b'matzniya, but if you're hiding it, so then kosher u'chaya. You'd be chayav on whatever you hid. Now the Gemara is going to ask in a moment, what do you mean taking it? I mean, if you hide it, you're also on the chayav if you take it out. It's a very funny way to put it. But this is only if you take it out. But we'll worry about that in a second. But of course, that's not true according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, on the contrary, all of these secondary usage things, which are not the primary shear, is only if you actually set it aside for that use. You know, we're never going to compare two things that are shchicha, and we're going to say, well, okay, so let's go according to the one that's more chumrah. Because the fact that relative legabi refua, it's just as common to use mayim as it is for drinking, doesn't mean that objectively speaking you'll use water more for refua than for drinking, right? So therefore, it says Rabbi Shimon, listen here. On the contrary, the most common usage is what is koveya, and then if somebody wants to use it for an uncommon usage, he can't just decide arbitrarily. I'm going to use it for this. That also has to be common within that area. So in other words, if somebody decides, okay, I need water to cure my eyes, fine, then the Mishnah is koveya for this person. What is the shear of water? For kilor. But you can't stop and say, oh, I need water to put under my microscope. That's not considered to be enough of a usage for someone to even be matzniya. It would be botla daita. Because that's the most common usage for water. That if you're taking out wastewater, then there is no other usage for it except a revius. The Gemara later on will ask, what can you even do with it for revius?
Okay,
Wait a minute. Oto matzniya lav motzihu. What is that supposed to mean? The matzniya kosher. Why is that the way to put it? I mean, the matzniya is also going to become chayav only if he's a motzi. So why are we contrasting a motzi or a matzniya? Omar Abaye is talking about a case like this. Sagamai iskinim betalmid. You have an apprentice. Shamar lo rabo lechu pnei hamokom l'seuda. You go and prepare this area so that I should be able to eat. Halach ufina lo dover chashuv. So then, if he goes out, ufina lo dover chashuv l'kol, he moves something there that anybody would have wanted. Chayev eluyim. Why? Because there you'd go according to the motzi. We don't need to consider the matzniya. Masha'in king dover she'in ochashuv l'kol. So then it depends. If he knows, therefore, that his master had set this aside and that's what he wanted, so then whose das are you going according to? The matzniya's das. That's why it says, we're talking about that there's both a motzi and a matzniya. Right? So if he did something that was koshav lakol and had nothing to do with his master, then we go back to the motzi. If he's taking out something which is choshev only because he knows his master wants it, then we're going according to the matzniya. And therefore we're contrasting as if there's two different people here, the motzi or the matzniya, instead of talking about the act of otzo, the act of being matzniya. Omama, modim chachodim rabbi shimon b'motzi shofchim l'shus harabim, sheshiuran b'raviyas. So you said that if you have wastewater, that the shear of wastewater is raviyas. Shofchim l'maychazim. What in the world could you use wastewater for anyway? There shouldn't be any shear for wastewater. You can use it for making cement. Ooh, hold on a second, man. Atanya tit kidei lasas ben pikur. It says in the Brice that the shear of cement is in order to be able to cement the opening into a smelter for the bellows, which is a very small opening. It's just you want to make it a little airtight. So you put a little layer of cement around the small break between the bellow and the body of the furnace. You don't need no revius to make cement for that. I mean, that sounds like a dropper. So then why, if you can use shofkin to make cement, should you be a little bit of shofkin to make a little bit of cement? And it's just the Gemara, that's no problem. Lo kasha ha de migvel o de lo migvel. V'shein adam toreach, l'gabel tit, lasot pikur. There it's talking about that you took out cement. You already have cement. So how much cement? Tiny bit of cement. But to take out the water to make the cement, who's going to bother making cement for a quarter of an ounce of cement? If you're mixing cement, you mix already enough cement. It holds a revius. So memela, the shear for the water is not the, even if it's going to be used for cement, is certainly not going to be the equivalent of the shear of the cement that you're going to use. Hamotzi chevel. You take out rope. Kedei lasot ozen lekupa. It would be enough rope to make a handle for a measuring container.
Isn't that related to the machlokas before, whether we go according to how much you need or how much material you actually have to have? Yesterday we talked about it, and there was a taker there. So why isn't it resolved right here? We don't go according to how much cement you need to put it on. It's how much you ordinarily mix.
I don't understand the connection of the two things.
Because he would talk to you.
So if you're taking out a rope, it would be enough rope to use to make a handle for a kupa in your kitchen. Which is, even nowadays, you see very, you know, it should be very fancy to have a rope. I mean, you see it in the fancy kitchen stores. You have, you know, wood kaling with ropes to hold them on the hooks. Gumi, you take out reeds, kidei lasu tlai l'nafau l'kivara. Then it would be enough to make a hook to hang in your kitchen for a sieve or a sifter. And later on, the Gemara will say why it's so specific here. Rebuna merkade lito mimeno midat min al lekatan. Well, a nice thing to use gumi would be you could use reeds to take measurements for buying shoes. Then you could go to the shoe store, and instead of taking your kid out of school to buy shoes, you've got to cut out a dugma of his foot and say, I need a shoe that's going to fit this foot size. So then, that would be the normal shear of gumi. Niyar, kidei lichtov alav kesher mochs. And if you're taking out a papyrus, then the shear would be to write
a catcher moksin. We'll see that this refers to the shear of writing two otiyot gdolot that are larger than normal otiyot gdolot, but that don't require a mokum of achiza. A catcher moksin is something that is essentially a ticket that allows you to pass through customs and shows that you've already paid customs or you already had your suitcases checked and there's no need to pay. So it allows you to get through the gate after passing customs. Hamotzi kesher moksin, and if you took out also a customs pass itself, then you would be chayev. And that's us there. The chiddush is that even if you had a customs pass that had been written on cloth, so normally the shear of cloth would be to have two osios, not osios gedolos. Here it's telling you that if the kesher moksin was written on the cloth, then you would need an actual kesher moksin is what's makayev you, not the fact that you have over here a half of the kesher moksin to write on it two osios. Niyar machu. If you have erased paper, so then it's no longer usable to actually write on, because nobody uses Niyar Mochuk to write on. So you use it Kedei Lichrochot Tzlukis Ketana Shel Plaita. It would be enough to cover over a little perfume bottle and tie it around with a rubber band. Or Kedei La'atzot Kmi'a, enough, or we're not referring to the cloth over here, but just the raw ore, so on. Or you can write a kamiya, which is small, a very small, just writing a couple of shemos. Klap, kedei lichtov, lof parsha ketana shebitvilin. Shishma Yisrael. For its klap, the usability of klap, which is very expensive, and you're certainly not going to use it for stam tishrei moks and things like that. So then, the shear of klap would be parsha ketana shebitvilin. And that's the smallest parsha in the tvilin, Ishma Yisrael. Dio, if you're taking out ink, kidei lichtov shtei otiyot. Kchol, kidei lichol ayin achat. To take out enough eyeshadow for one eye, and the Gemara will ask that lechora most people are not cyclops. Devek, kidei litein barosh hashafshaf. And devek would be used to put on top of a branch. The Gemara will explain that this was a bird trap. So that you would put enough glue there so that when the bird alights on the glue, it gets trapped. Zefet v'gofrit. If you have a tar or pitch, kidei lasot nekev. This would be sufficient to make a nekev, which Rashi learns this means that you take a small container. This is talking about a container of mercury. If you're making a thermometer, let's say, so you need a very small, narrow area for the mercury to go through. So you use zefet in order to seal up the hole, so you're left with a tiny space for the expansion of the mercury. Shava kedei litein al pi nekev katan, and if you're taking out shava, which is really anything, a wax, beeswax, or something of that consistency, so that you would use to put on top of a nekev katana to seal it. Charsit kedei lasot pikur shel terfei zahav. Charsit is ground up brick, and you would use this charsit also to. I'm not sure what, tell you the truth, what it means. Rashi says it means literally lasos. The Miri says it means the same thing that we said before, which is that you'd use it to seal it to make it watertight, airtight. So that you'd have a very thin material that you could sort of scoop into the edges of the hole. According to Rashi, when he says lasos, I don't understand how you would use ground up charsis. I just don't know the physical way to do such a thing. Maybe it's an abrasive. And you use it as an abrasive. So instead of drilling a hole which is rough, you know, because you're gonna get a large hole, you use it as abrasive to make just enough hole to force the bellows through, and mamela, it turns out to be airtight because it's been made in increments. I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kedei lasot pitput, that it would be enough to make to put underneath the support. He said, remember, this is a tiny core because it's for tzorfei zav. You ever seen a gold maker's furnace? This is just a little area that you put the gold into, because he's working with tiny bits of material. So over here, in order to keep it steady, you put a little bit of charsis under one regel, or you use it as the regel for supporting it, so it shouldn't roll around. Subin can be used, Rashi says, to actually make the fire. So if you don't have charcoal, you can use subin, and you put it also around the hole, and that way it catches fire and it raises the temperature. Seed is lime, but there's another usage of lime other than coloration, and that is it's used as a depilatory. So if you have a very young child who has grown hair and is embarrassed and wants to get off the hair from the body, so then you use seed. The Gemara will discuss what is the shear of Ketanah Shebabanos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei Lasot Kilkel. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's to make a kilkel. It's just the edges of the hair, and it sort of holds the hair down. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei Lasot Undapi, which is a machlok, it's what it means. Let's assume right now that it means to turn it into a red. You use it to turn the skin red on the forehead, so it acts as sort of a rouge because it draws the blood to the surface and irritant. Chevel. So now you said that there were two shiurim. You said that you would make for a pot, you would use a chevel, but for a nuf and a kavar, for a sieve or a sifter, you would use gumi. I mean, that sounds sort of arbitrary. Why wouldn't you use chevel instead of a handle to a pot, which is big? Why not use a chevel as a loop to hang something on, which is a smaller shear? How come only a gumi you can use to hang something on? Answers the Gemara, the same thing you did for gumi. Answers the Gemara, kivan dechorik gumana lo avidinshi. Since rope is very rough, so to use it to put through a delicate thing, and to make a small loop out of rope, nobody's going to do. So you use it only on a metal or a cheras, where you're making a big handle for it. But if you want to make a loop, you need something smooth. Memele, you use gumi. Tana Rabbana, hutzin kidei lasot ozen lesal kvifa mitzris. Hutzin, these are the palm leaves. So that you would use as a handle for a sal, a kvifa mitzris that's made out of palm leaves. So then you just attach a leaf around the sal, and that becomes its handle. Sieve. The sieve is the sort of material that grows around the base of the lulavim on the dekel. So sieve, acherim omrim, kidei litein al pi mashpech katan l'sanein et hayayin. Sieve works very well as a filter, because it's a very, very permeable material, but it's still solid. So you use it to get very clear wine out of. So you put it at the bottom of your mashpech, at the bottom of your, what's a mashpech in English?
Funnel.
Put it at the bottom, thank you. Put it at the bottom of the funnel, so when the wine sits in the funnel, it takes a while to get through, and then you have clear wine. Rivav is oil, or animal fats. Kidei lasuch tachas aspargim ptana. That would be enough to put in the oven underneath the sponge cake, to keep it from sticking. The kamash yura kisela, and that would be the shear of a sela worth of margarine. Vatane ki grogerets, doesn't it say grogerets of margarine? Inavide chach yura. A sela of margarine is the same as a grogerets of margarine. Mochin ki de lasos kadur ktana. And if you have stuffing, what would you use stuffings for? Obviously, to make a little ball. The kamash yura, how big is a little ball? Okay, it goes. Niyar kidei lichtov alav, it's a ping pong ball. Kidei lichtov alav kesher moksin. Tana, kama kesher moksin, shtei otiyot. The size of a kesher moksin is two otiyot. V'ramino amotzin yar chalak, im yesh bo kidei lichtov shtei otiyot chayav, vim lav patur. Here, the kesher moksin is kidei lichtov alav shtei otiyot bedavka. And the girsa either is shteyot or chol kesher moksin, and the girsa we have on the side, the girsa of the Yorok, which is a separate price. Right? So, kama kesher moksin, shteyos yos, bichtav yevoni. In other words, the point is that it's not the normal osios that you would use for your own writing. So why does it say, therefore, that niyar is k'dei l'ktov shtei otiyot, meaning of any writing? Mimlav patur. Rav Sheshit, my shtei otiyot shel kesher mochsin. It means shtei otiyot of kesher mochsin. Rav Omer, shtei otiyot didan, u beit achiza, dahainu kesher mochsin. If you're writing, so then you need, there's two ways of learning this. One is, if you're writing, you need, in order to be able to write two osios, you need to be able to hold the paper down around the edges so that you can support it and it doesn't move while you're writing it. So memela, shtei otiyot to write, you need to include also the margin. But the margin, which shtei otiyot, is the equivalent of the size of something of kesher shomoksin. In kesher shomoksin, we're talking about maybe a stamp, or maybe we're talking about where the whole thing was written and then it was sliced, and you give it out to people, right? And Rashi says the kesher shomoksin, because you hold it in your palm like this. You don't hold it like that. So as you're going through customs, you hold the kesher shomoksin. So the melee, we're not interested in the mokum achiza for kesher shomoksin. Meisve hamotzi niyar machu mushtar parua. It says if you take out erased paper, or you have a contract that is no longer useful, so that what's written on the contract is meaningless because it's yesterday's news. If you have enough space in the margins between the areas that was messed up to write two osios, or for that matter, if you don't have that, but you have enough of the size of paper, to tie on a little perfume bottle and to keep it sealed. So now look. I understand that if you say the shir is shtei osios, and wherever it says shtei osios, it means shtei osios of kesher moksin. So then, this is no different than the normal case of niyar. Niyar, if you have enough space to write shtei osios, meaning shtei osios of kesher moksin, you're chayav. But according to Rava, when Rava says shtei osios includes the margin, then you'd have to say over here that you don't need the margin. Because why should you need a margin? You have a whole big, gigantic piece of paper to hold it with. We're talking about the small area that's left open. So instead of using the common term, im yesh bo shtei osios, you should say, im yesh bo shtei osios, but without the beis achiza, of course, which is normally what shtei osios means. So according to Rava, hacha beis achiza lo tzorich. Why would you need a margin if the whole gigantic piece of paper is a perfectly good margin to hold? Gosh, that is a problem. If you're carrying around a chit for customs, so if you haven't showed it yet to get out of customs, then you would be chayiv, because obviously now it's very useful. But once you show it to customs, then it's useless. So if you still walk around holding it, you're not carrying something that's usable. If you carried our Bamas Prishas Rabin, you'd be put. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Misher, Eulam Ochez Chayab, Ibnejit Tzorachlo. It's not true. There is usage for it even after you've used it to go through customs. And that amount of usage is considered to be a Hotzor Chashuva. My Binayu, Om Rabbi Hikibinayu Rihite Muchza. What are they arguing about? They're arguing whether the usage for custom runners is considered to be an important usage, because these mamzerim are never satisfied. So they've always got these guys walking around outside of customs, right? And wait a second here, sir. I have the feeling you just walked through. Let me see your pass. So they may at any point they're going to be looking for you. So therefore, you carry around this in order to get them off your head. So. And the Mashain came, if you don't know of Rabbi Yehuda, so then you say, look, for the unlikely cases you're going to be caught by the Rite Muchza, you're not going to carry it around. Because after all, you can always go back to customs and say, remember me, I just went through, and this jerk says I didn't go through. So Mamela, you don't feel that you need to carry it around, because in a pinch you can get along without it. It's a matter of a convenience. For the unlikely circumstances, you don't worry about your conveniences. So you could see which one of these mandiyamrim had a garage full of junk, and which one of these mandiyamrim kept things clean.
Are we defining here shiurim of chashivas, which is objective, whether it's chashiv for you or not?
No, whether this is considered to be the norm. And this is really a very serious issue. People keep junk. Right? And they're not gonna throw junk away. Some people are not gonna throw junk away. Because maybe it may turn out to be useful. Now look, if you really need another screw like this, the hardware store is down the block. So the shayla is like, you're taking out this screw because maybe one day everyone will be out of this screw and it'll be precisely what you need to fix your tape recorder, right? Now the chances of that happening are one in a trillion. Chances are that your great-grandchildren are going to be keeping this screw around not knowing what it was that they inherited. Right? Okay, so that's the shayla. Is this considered to be because you want it, or it's because you want it for something kosher? Yeah.
Are we defining use here as what it's specifically used for, i.e. a chip? Or let's say you use it as a bookmark.
Yes,
you're
here,
running around with it as a bookmark in your book.
We're using, again, the usage that would be normal. If, lamaitse, you've set it aside for something else, then you're a matzniya.
Like a bus pass or something.
So then you're a matzniya. If you're using it...
it's all punched out, it's not a bus pass.
Right, but it's also... You could... So that's the shayla, if that's the common usage. That's what we're arguing about here.
So in other words, whatever the function of the particular item is, if it's used as that
if
function, your chayav.
Unless you were a matzniyah, in which case, even
if
it isn't used.
If you set it aside as another use, then you already have
a recognized use.
Right.
And another recognized use.
According to Rabbi Shimon, another recognized use. According to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be recognized.
How is the difference?
Not any use, if it's kosher for you. Although there are cases before where it's such a ridiculous use, as Tosfos says, that then we would, even the Chachamim would be made of that tzvatla dait. Rav Amar, moches gadol, moches katan ikabinayim. The question is over here, whether sometimes the guy that you pass through customs is too lazy to actually be sitting at the road where you're entering. So he's the big guy. So you go into the customs building on the side, and you get your pass. And then the guy that you're passing through might say, "Wait a second, how do I know what you did in there?" And so on. So either you could say, "Look, he told me to tell you," and then you tell him what he told you to tell you. So he told me, "Just write down I'm number 991." Oh, okay, then you can get through. Or do you want to badafka use the pass that maybe you had come originally with the pass? Let's say you had a government guarantee. Could also be. So you'd show this only to the Mokis Gadol. It's pasach nishbichlal to show it to the Mokis Gadol. Rav Ashomer, chad mokis ikabinayim. No, you don't have to come on to any of this. You pass through customs, period. The point of having a custom chit is to show that you're not his God. Mivnei shetzarech la'arot l'mokis sheni. It doesn't mean that you're going to need it as a receipt. You don't need it as a receipt. But when you come to your next border crossing, and they say, you look like the criminal type. What? Me, criminal type? I've got my passport stamped by every mechas in the world. How can I be the criminal type? So, Mamela, it's kedai for you to carry around these things.
I didn't understand the previous nafkamina.
It's the same getter. I don't know what the nafkamina would be. Because I don't know enough of the Metzias to be able to differentiate between the Rehite Mukhsar Mokas Gadol Mokas Katan. I really cannot tell. The Yomarle, because then you tell the next guy, Chazi, Gavir the Mokhis Ana. Gosh, I'm a custom guy myself. I'm accustomed to customs. Tan Rabban, Hamotzi Shtarchov Achelo Paro, Chaya, Misha Paro Patur. So we said that if somebody's carrying around a shtar that had already been paid, so then, of course, if it wasn't paid, of course it's chayav because whatever it says is worth money. So there, whatever it is, however big it is, that's what's important. But misha paro potter. But once it's paid up, it's useless, and therefore it's potter, and except as we said before, unless maybe it could be used for a perfume bottle. But here it doesn't say that. It just says that it's useless.
Even in a legal sense, that you'd still need it. What if somebody's saying,
we'll see. We shall see. We shall see. You have no patience. Rabbi Yudah Omer, Af Misha Paro Chayav, Mipnei Shetzarich. Rabbi Yudah says, you need it, even when it's already been paid. Because. My Binai, what are they arguing? What's the because? Omer of Yosef. The question is whether you as a lender are allowed to keep a note that has been paid, or were koshish that you may go and use this note that's been paid. So, Rabbanan Savre, Oser Lishosh Tar Parua. Reb Yehuda Savar, Mutar Lishosh Tar Parua. Therefore, Reb Yehuda says, you can, since you can use this note, meaning not for collecting with, because it's already been collected, but you're allowed to keep such a note, so maybe you can now use it for secondary usages. What are the secondary usages? We said before, to tie it around a perfume bottle. Whereas, according to the Rabbona, if you're not allowed to keep the Shtar Perua, it's utterly worthless, because you've got to get rid of it. You can't use it for your perfume bottle. Because we're cautious that you're going to go, and you're going to collect with it again. Nobody holds over here that you'd be allowed to keep a Shtar Perua, because then maybe you would be go ahead and collect with it. But the question here over here is whether this shtar is a shtar. In other words, what do we need in order to be able to collect with this thing? So one Tanakama savar moda b'shtar shekatzvo tzarech lekaimo. The Tanakama holds v'b'yuda savar moda b'shtar shekatzvo ein tzarech lekaimo. Let's just hear what it's saying, because it no longer means what we thought it meant. Umay achlo paro misho paro achiyomar lo parati vlo parati. We're assuming now that, until now we assume that parua means paid. Lo paro means unpaid. Now we're saying it means paid. Did I pay it? And it's talking about, the machlokas is that the guy about whom the shtar is, in other words, who's signed on, it's an IOU signed by Jimmy. So Jimmy says, yeah, that's my signature, all right. But I paid it. So Mamela, if you're going to say that you need Jimmy to be able to tell you whether he paid or not paid, so then it would depend over here when it says, Achelo paro, Misha paro, means the Lova says, well, parati, I say I paid it. So Mamela, if we need the Lova to tell me whether it's parua or not, so then already it's something that there'd be no problem in keeping, because listen, I say it's already paid. So the fact that you have my testimony that it's my handwriting doesn't mean anything. And therefore it's not a shtar, because you need me to make it a shtar. Well, I'm not making a shtar. So you're welcome to use it on your perfume bottle, because you can come into court as many times as you want. They ask me and I say, sorry friends. Mashenkin, if you hold that once it's been determined that this is my handwriting and it is an IOU, so then, we don't come on to him. So if that's the case, then it would be Osir Lekayim, that was Barua.
In Jewish law, do you surrender a star?
That's the next machlokas. That's another way of it. You're on the ball, but you're too fast for us. Tomorrow we'll see that another way of understanding machlokas is whether we write receipts and we force people to rely on their receipts. That's a machlokas. Because if we force you to keep a receipt, then now the onus is upon you.
Exactly.
And you have to care for your receipt. Or do we say that no, we don't force the payer to keep a receipt, we force the creditor to the debtor to tear up the shtar, not to make you worry about it. That'll be the machlokas, another way of learning the machlokas, which we'll see tomorrow.